Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
But it is my honour to share around the word this morning. And if you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read a passage of scripture that is actually a sermon in and of itself that Jesus himself taught. Now Jesus obviously is the ultimate preacher, and so I will be unpacking some of the things that God has shown me through this verse, and I hope it blesses you. But I want to encourage you, you know, what a great thing to be able to sit down and be under a message from our Lord and Savior. So this is why our Bible reading is so key and so powerful every single day of our life. And if you have a Bible, you can read along. If not, it'll be on the screens and I will read it for you. And it says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Crazy, full, powerful, interesting verse, and I really believe God's going to speak to us through it. And if you're taking notes, the title of my message this morning is Do Not Worry. And we're going to pray and ask God to really help us with this one, right? Awesome. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity just to come around your word, just the opportunity to encourage one another in our faith, God. And I just pray that this morning, as we discover what it means to walk with you in life, through the troubles and the trials, God, and to not have worry, that we would be strengthened, that our lives would be enriched, God, and that we would see ourselves setting a course this year to see what you have planned for us come to pass. We pray that right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, it is not hard to see that in our world today, there is a lot of worry. And of course, even over the last couple of weeks, we have seen, you know, a heightened sense of worry in our nation and, you know, in our community. And there are people that maybe have real, fears and anxieties and whatnot rising up. And it's interesting that I read this verse this morning. And as I was sort of reading it, I was sort of thinking, wow, it's an interesting, time to be sharing about this. I was led to it because I really felt that word first. And at the beginning of the year, we want to figure out what is it that we should do first. But as I continued to read the context of this scripture, I was like, wow, how appropriate is it that it's talking about worry in a time like we are in right now? And it's in the sort of midst of this backdrop that I put this question to you. Is this scripture about not worrying still relevant to us today? Does it apply to us in our situation, or was it just something that maybe was for the ancient days when they didn't have the problems and the troubles that we have today? And maybe back then it was a bit more simpler, and so Jesus meant it for then, but maybe it doesn't apply now. My question to you is, can this verse still apply to your life and my life in our current circumstance? The other day, one of our public holidays, I was sitting at home in the afternoon, was keen for a cup of tea, which is pretty much the story of my life at all times. And I realized I had no milk. How devastating is that? And I've had a lazy day and I'm just like, man, I just want a cup of tea. You know what? I'll walk up to the shop, get some milk. And I'm like, well, it's mid-afternoon. It's been a big day. Why don't I take Lacey for a little walk? Mum can have some space. This will be nice. So Lacey and I, we walk from our house sort of up to the IGA. It's only about maybe 10 to 15 houses away from us. So we're just walking and we're enjoying ourselves. And we get to the IGA and, of course, public holiday, it's shut. And so I'm there and I'm like, what do I do, right? I don't want to go home. I'm really desperate for some milk. And I'm like, well, the next corner shop is about like maybe 600, 700, maybe 800 meters away, Gumtree down the road, right? So I'm like, that's cool. We'll go for a walk. It'll be great. So in my head, I pictured myself walking, getting some milk, walking back, and then going home, making myself a nice cup of tea. But what I failed to realize is that I'm with a child who has absolutely no cares in the world and doesn't want to get home, just wants to enjoy the moment. And so as we walk, I'm talking literally every single meter, she sees something worth stopping for. And it's a leaf. And she's like, Daddy. And I'm like, how about that? Let's go, right? Next minute, she's got this entire rock collection. It's so funny, actually. She has two rocks in each hand. She sees another rock and she goes over and she leans down to pick up this rock. And as she picks that rock, one of the rocks from her hands falls. So she looks at two rocks, one down there, goes again, same thing. And she just gets stuck in this like eternal loop. Every time she goes down, she drops one, she's got two. And she goes again to pick up the third, she drops one. She's like, well, I'm like, what is going on? This rock is just never ending. And I'm like, wow, I need to help this little girl. She is just gonna be here forever, right? And so we end up walking along and I'm telling you, it takes so long. Now, because it was gonna be a short stroll, I didn't bring my phone. I didn't have anything to distract me. And I was struck, so struck by the difference between myself and my daughter at that point. She is present. She is in the moment. She has awe and wonder at everything around her. She is noticing things that I don't notice. And because I didn't have my phone, I didn't have my normal distraction. Wow, wasn't that confronting? I'm like, I've got problems here. And I'm walking with her and I'm realizing, wow, look at her enjoying her life. She's not worried. She's not stressed. She's not thinking about where she has to be or, you know, whether or not she can get home. You know, I'm like, pretty sure she doesn't know a way back from here, right? But she's not worried. And I was thinking about this journey that my little girl and I went on, and I was thinking about how she had no cares in the world, no worries at all. And it's easy, I know, for some of you to think right now, ah, I know where this sermon's going. God is our Father, and I'm the child, and He will supply my needs, and I don't need to worry. But the problem with like that oversimplistic sort of view of my analogy here is that you can sort of miss so much of what God wants to say. And I think we do that a lot in Scripture. We read something, we presume we know all about it and we get it and we sort of at a surface level are like, oh yeah, I believe that, move right on. But the problem with like oversimplifying this thing is that we can sort of think, well, that's really beautiful, but I'm not a child. And I have real problems and I have real challenges and there are real consequences to my real problems. So thank you for the nice analogy there, Mr. Preacher, on a Sunday morning. But I'm just going to get on with worrying about my life because someone has to, right? So the question is, like, who's got real problems in the place, you know? Everyone here has got real problems. Who's got real problems that don't resolve themselves if they're ignored? Yes, we all have real problems that don't just resolve themselves if they're ignored. So does this scripture still apply to you? Because if you're here and you're like, well, that's good for you, but not for me. My problems, my challenges are too big. There's no way that I can live my life without a sense of worry. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, who was it that spoke this sermon? Who was it that is sharing this? It's Jesus. So let's have a look at his life. Did he ever have real problems? Did he ever have real troubles? Did he ever face real trials? Or was his life sort of a breeze? Was everything sort of sweet for him? Was it easy? Who are the audience that Jesus is talking to in the ancient Near East? You know, was their life easy? Did their life have no troubles? You know what? I dare say they did. Jesus himself, man, he was run out of cities and he was stoned, like people trying to stone him to death. You know, Jesus, you know, he was beaten. He was abandoned. Eventually, he was crucified. So we're talking about a person who knows what it is to face troubles, to face challenges. The people of that era, you know, unlike us, when he's talking about don't be worried about what you eat or what you wear, unlike us, they didn't have any kind of sort of community system to support them or a welfare system or, you know, a local church that could supply their needs. So much of what we know about Christian charity today comes out of the church. And around the world, this sense of the poor being looked after and cared for, it wasn't a concept that was strong in his day. So when he's talking about don't be worried about what you eat or what you wear, he's talking to people that may not eat and may not have anything to wear. And he has the audacity in that situation to be like, hey, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Doesn't your God care about you more than the birds? Look, they've got clothes, they've got places to stay, they've got food. And I just think, man, if we think that this doesn't apply to us because our life has too much trouble, then we are really missing a truth and something that God wants to use to set us free. So Jesus said it. Let's have a look at how Jesus himself did it, lived in a time of trouble without being worried. Well, John 16 is a great scripture to teach us this. And in verse 32, it says this, Jesus speaking, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone." So the people that he's closest with, the people that he's walked with, his friends, his community, his circle, he's like, there's a time coming when you guys are all going to leave me all alone. I will be by myself. You're going to scatter. And then he goes on to say, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. This is Jesus' key. No matter how much trouble comes, there's something that I have, regardless of my circumstances, that will never leave me, and that is my Father. His presence, his ability to comfort me, the Holy Spirit, the comforter will be with me. And then he goes on, just to drive the point home, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. Who wants some of that, right? In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. Even in the scripture we read at the beginning, it says at the end, each day has enough trouble of its own. Trouble seems to be something that Jesus isn't just ignoring or denying. He's actually promising. He's actually saying you're going to have it. It's unavoidable. It's a part of your life. Trouble is there every single day. And he seems to be saying, even in the midst of this trouble, don't worry. Don't worry. So is it possible? How is it possible? Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Your ability to be in the midst of trouble but not worried depends on who it is that is with you. Do you know if Lacey went for that same walk by herself down to Gumtree, if I slipped her $5 and I said, babe, can you go get us, you know, 3 liters of milk, because I drink that much tea. And I just sent her on her way. Who knows that she might not be particularly worried because she doesn't really understand yet the consequences of walking on a road. But would she be safe? No. She would be in danger. And do you know what's interesting? Because it's so easy to sort of take this passage and think its focus is all about not worrying. And we think that's what God's telling us to do. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And so we sit there and we're like, all right, I'm not going to worry. 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 And it's easy to think that's the focus, but the absence of worry does not necessarily guarantee your safety. So you can have an absence of worry and be in danger. So I was driving to church one day, a couple of years ago now, and it was a Sunday morning. It was about 7:30. I'm driving down this back street, sort of getting out of Carimbar on the way to Sutherland. And as I drive up this road, I kid you not, there is a 2-year-old kid standing at the side of the road like this with his dummy, nappy, and a bunny, and there's no one else around. This little boy. And I'm driving, so I slow right down because I'm like, that's like unusual. what is going on here? So I pull over because I'm like, this kid is definitely not safe. There is no adult. It's 7:30. It's like crickets. I'm like, what do I do, right? Because I don't know who this kid is. I don't want to obviously go near him. So I'm sort of like, but I obviously don't want him to leave him and to walk on the road. So I'm sort of like, well, he's in front of this house. So what I'll do is I'll just be like, I'll just, you know, keep an eye on the kid, walk up to the house, and I'm sort of like knocking on the door. And then I'm looking, what, making sure this kid doesn't go on the road, knock on the door. Finally, this person comes around. Yes, hello, what do you want? And I said, do you have a son? I think your son is outside. They're like, what? They come out and they're like, oh, Sammy, come here, right? And this little kid, they come running. The mum's like, oh my gosh. What happened? I go, I don't know. I was just driving past. He was standing on the side of the road. She's like, oh. And we look down and there's this fly screen on one of the lower sort of windows that he's obviously leant on and pushed. And then he's just like. And this kid just wanders out. Not a worry in the world. But who knows? He wasn't safe. Who knows? He could have been severely hurt. And, you know, if you're just going along in your life without worrying, you will not be safe. And it's interesting because this kid was not worried, but he was not safe. And it was interesting when I looked up this verse in the Greek, it wasn't translated, to my surprise, Hakuna Matata. I was like, no worries for the rest of my days. Surely that's what this means. And I'm looking at it and it wasn't there. And, you know, if you don't know what Hakuna Matata is, it's from Lion King, surely you know. And it's a philosophy, it's a problem-free philosophy. And but what's interesting about, you know, these characters is they sort of live without cares, without worries. They do what they want, they don't worry. Life is all good, don't stress about it, chill. What's interesting is Jesus is not saying that in this verse. Just relax. Nothing matters, it'll be okay, it'll all work out in the end. That's actually not what he's saying. If you go along life, floating along on your own without worrying, you will not be safe. You'll be broken, lost in a world of pain. Because simply having no worries does not negate the issue of the needs. See, Jesus talks about this. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. There are things that we need. There are things that we can't live without. There are things that we are just like, if I don't have these things, my life is not going to work. But these needs, they're real. They cannot be ignored. And in fact, if you ignore these needs, you're probably more negligent or irresponsible. And if we look at the world today, those that have this sort of Hakuna Matata, no worries philosophy, are probably the worst of the lot. Look at the fathers of this world who have left their families because it was a bit too hard for them. And we see children that grow up and the father may be in a place where they're not worrying about it, but the echo of that decision goes on and affects so many others. Simply living without worries is not the solution. Not worrying does not remove the needs. So Jesus is not talking about the absence of needs leading to the lack of trouble, but the presence of God in the midst of trouble leading to the lack of worry. Now, verse 32, he draws this distinction between pagans and the children. And he goes on to basically say, don't run after these things like the pagans do. The pagans run after these things. Pagans are those that don't know God. They're not part of God's family. They're not God's children. But they run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, what's interesting and what's important for us to understand is Jesus' mission is the pagans. He's not like writing them off. He's saying, no, people that don't know me, they don't have the father figure that can walk with them, guide them, and keep them safe. His whole mission is for the pagans. That's his desire. The Bible says in John 1 verse 12, it says, for those who receive him, those who believe in him, that they have the right to be called children of God. God's heart is that every single person would become his child, that they would be restored back into relationship with him. And if you're here this morning and you could honestly sit back and be like, well, I don't know God. Well, that's not God's heart for you. His heart for you is for you to know him. Was there still danger? Yes. But when Lacey and I would come to a road on this journey, I'd stop and I'd say, Lacey, stop. And we're going to look right. Can you see any cars? No. Look left, can you see any cars? No. Look right, can you see any cars? No. All right, let's go, hold my hand. And Lacey and I would walk across this road. Now it's interesting because halfway across the road a couple of times, Lacey's like, no, my walk, right? Which is her latest thing. She's like, my walk. Yet in the middle of a road, I wouldn't let go of her hand. And at that point, she didn't understand. She didn't know what was going on. But her father was saying, you have to hold my hand and this is something we must do. Now, this brings us to that point of sometimes God and his wisdom and his guidance leads us down paths and takes us places where we maybe don't understand, we don't recognize, we don't want to always go. But if we trust our Father like Lacey did with me, then we will remain safe. Do you know what's beautiful about this verse is it says that God knows what you need. The pagan is the child without the father, self-dependent. It's like that two-year-old lost. You know, Jesus called these people the lost sheep. People that were without a sheep without a shepherd, or the blind leading the blind. These were his mission. And he is heartbroken because he is watching, like this little kid, people wandering around their life, either being consumed with worry that they can never resolve, or having no worries and leaving a trail of destruction. And he's like, these are my children. I want them to come home to me. The difference between the fatherless and the fathered is that father can guide and direct the child. And you know, this is like the benefit of being a Christian. is that you are restored back to God and you can hear his voice and you can follow him. Do you know, God actually, through Jesus, brings about an opportunity for you and I to be restored back to him. And Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And he says in John 3, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I really feel this to encourage some of you. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I can confidently say that some of you guys have real troubles in your life, real circumstances, real challenges, real things that are sort of consuming you. And I don't know what those troubles are, but what I do know is that in the midst of that, there is a God who knows what you need. There is a God who wants to see you win. There's a God who wants to keep you safe. And there is a God who is speaking to you and giving you direction if you would choose to follow. Now, Lacey has a choice when I walk with her. She can listen to her father or she can not listen. She can disobey. She can run on the road when I say don't run. And the truth is, if we do not listen to our father, no matter what he is saying to us, we actually do not receive everything God intended for us. So you're a child of God and he wants to lead you in every circumstance. He has wisdom, provision. He always has the next step ready for you. You just need to follow him. So how do you discover it? How do you hear God's voice? How do you know what to do when you are surrounded by trouble and you feel these worries start to lift? What do we do? Well, people think the focus of this verse is don't worry. But that's not actually the focus of this verse. The key to not worrying is not worrying. The key to not worrying, the Bible says, is seeking. Seeking. It's so interesting because this is actually a verb in the Greek. It's a verb, a doing word. How grateful are we to God that he doesn't just say, hey, don't worry about it anymore. And we're like, okay. Choosing not to worry about that anymore. That's it. No longer a worry in my life. How hard is it when someone's like, oh, you know, don't worry about that. And you're like, yeah, that's good to say that. But what the heck? I can't get rid of this worry. It's just right there. Jesus comes along and he says, no, I'm actually going to give you something to do. I'm going to give you an action, a doing word. This whole message that he is preaching, everything up until verse 33 hinges on this one word. It's amazing. All of these stories about Solomon and all the things about the birds and about not worrying and all of that. It actually comes to this one word, this verb, the verb which is seek. Seek. Seeking isn't passive. It is active. And no matter where you are, what's going on in your life, no matter what your year has looked like so far, no matter what challenges you face, I am telling you there is a way forward. There is always a way forward in God. And do you know what? Worry is not your way forward. Self-dependence is not your way forward. No worries, Hakuna Matata, is not your way forward. Seeking is your way forward. Seeking is your way forward. Do you know there's many things you can't change, but there's one thing you can do, and that is to seek God in the midst of your trials. If you're worried, if you are overcome with worry, ask yourself this question, have I been seeking him? One of the craziest things, right? It seems like it can't be that simple. But time and time again, when I have felt anxiety rise up, when I've felt worry come, when I've been consumed with fear for the future, and I try and handle it, it doesn't resolve itself. Yet somehow when I pray, somehow when I go and seek God, somehow when I make space to be in his presence, this worry seems to be overshadowed by the goodness of God. I have seen in my own life times where I've felt so overwhelmed, a break in the clouds and the sun come through prayer. This is why Philippians 4 verse 6 talks so clearly about what to do when you are worried, when you are anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God and he will give you a peace which transcends understanding. So he basically gives us this key, seek me, come to me, be in my presence, pray to me, and as you seek me, this peace will come, which is beyond what you could achieve for yourself. You can't always change your circumstances, but you can always choose to seek him. I might get the keys just to come up. That'd be awesome. Thanks, Jez, you're the man. And we won't take too much longer. I really just want to spend a minute just just handing over to God some of the worries that are in our life. But just before we get there, I want to talk about this. And it is the fact that worry is a thief. Worry is a thief. Do you know the word worry in this scripture is this Greek word, merimnao, which means to be anxious or to be anxious about, to be troubled with cares. And it's from the root word, which is merimna, right? And that root word means distraction or to be drawn in different directions. So worry, what it actually does is it distracts you. It distracts you from something. Jesus clearly doesn't want us to worry because he recognizes what it distracts us from. Worry draws you into different places. So it takes you from where you are into different places. And Jesus is like, no, I don't want you to worry. You see, worry is a thief. It steals you of your present. It steals you of the moment. It steals you from what is in front of you. Instead of being able to see with gratitude that which is in front of you, you are, through worry, transported, projected into a future that hasn't yet happened, that isn't even determined yet, and you are robbed from your present. Do you know, the gift of Christianity is to be able to live in the present. The present is where life exists. The present is what we have. Life is to be lived, not just remembered and not just anticipated. You ever had a friend and every time you see them, you always end up talking about the good old days? You know what I'm talking about? I got a friend I can think of right now, and every time we get together, it's almost like we start talking and then within a minute or two, hey, remember that time when we went, you know, and we did that and we're on that holiday and this happened. Remember this, remember that. And you know what? It's good sometimes to reminisce. But I tell you what, it's hard to hang out with this friend because every time we talk, it's almost like it feels like the best days are behind us, or those things are behind us, or that person who has had a situation in their life which has broken them or hurt them. And there is definitely a time of grieving and a time of healing, but a person who chooses not to let go of their past and it keeps coming up. And instead of being able to live in their present, they are robbed, right? Or there's that person who always says, one day, oh, one day I'm gonna do this, one day I'm gonna do that, or one day I wanna see this, one day. But those experiences are always projected into this unknown future without any sense of direction or immediate activity. You know, Mother Teresa said it so well. She says, yesterday is gone, tomorrow has not yet come. We only have today, let us begin. You know, as I wrap up this message, you know, there's two things that rob you of your present, and in doing so, rob you of life. First one is shame. Shame keeps you tethered to your past. And worry is the other one. Worry will project you into your future. They both rob you of your present. Do you know, in the creation story, Adam and Eve, they're a picture of all of us. And this experience that they had says so much about the human condition. And when you see God's original intention for humanity, it is to walk with him. It is to be in relationship with him. It is to live in the moment. You know, Adam and Eve did have things to do. They tended the garden. But what was beautiful is they tended it with God. And they enjoyed his creation and they cared for creation. And they were partners in God to be a part of seeing creation flourish. And you know what? If they were hungry, they could reach out from a tree and eat from it. God is like, eat from any tree you want. I want you to eat from all of these trees. But I don't cheat from this one. And they could literally walk through, take food, take this, take that. Do you know, Adam and Eve wouldn't have been worrying about what they're going to eat tomorrow morning. At that point, up until that point, they assumed that there would be fruit and food for them to eat. They weren't anxious, they weren't worried, they weren't thinking about the future. They disobey God, and this is called the fall, and they choose to go against God's wishes and become self-dependent. And the Bible says that they realized they were naked. Now, they had been naked this entire time and without any kind of problems. So it wasn't that they were naked. That's not the problem. It was their awareness of their nakedness, which is the entry of shame. And they started to think, why am I naked? Oh my gosh, they got embarrassed. They try and cover themselves up. And the Bible says that they hid from God. Why did they hide from God? Because they were worried or scared about what God would do. So they went from being in this perfect place of communion with God, walking with him without worries, without anxieties, living each day active and enjoying God's presence, to being ashamed of their past and afraid of their future. And they hid. And this is what so many of us do today. Our past, the things that we've done, the things that have shaped us, our history,
they define us to this point where we are just like, I hide because I'm scared. What if people know? What if people see? And this condemnation from our past tries to hold us back. And then this worry, what will happen? How will I provide for my needs? How will I'm going to go forward? How will I find that person? Whatever those worries may be. And Jesus' whole message is this. Hey, guess what? God is here. He's present. He's with you. His scripture says this in Luke 17, 20 and 21. It says, once being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Do you know what Jesus did? He restored us back to that place of communion with God. He brought us back to a place where we experience His presence. We have become children with a Father. And like Lacey, with me, we can walk out the journey of our life, and as long as we trust Him, as long as we seek Him, as long as we listen to His voice and are guided by Him, then He will protect us from those things that mean to destroy us. We can live without worry or anxiety for our future. Yes, there will be troubles. Yes, there will be difficulties, but guess what? He knows what we need, and He will supply our needs, and He will take us from where we are to where we need to go. And all we need to do on this journey is enjoy the present. We are returned back to that place of innocence where we can be in awe of the people around us, where we can enjoy our family. Instead of sitting there at a dinner table worried about how you're going to pay the bills, you can be there and you can enjoy your kids smiling at you and your marriage and your wife. You don't have to worry about how you're going to afford this or how you're going to get that or where your next, you know, paycheck's going to come from. But you can actually be like, you know what? I have what is in front of me, and because God is looking after me and my needs, I can enjoy the present. And do you know what? This is what it means to be a Christian. Is to be given life, is to be brought back into the present and to recognize. It's like the lights come on and you can see in every person that you meet life and a person worth knowing, and you can see in your family the good things and all these things that try and destroy that moment, try and make you ashamed of your past or fearful of your future and try and rip you away. You are just like, God, no, I'm seeking you. What do I do right now? And I always learned from Pastor Brad that it's powerful to have a pattern of seeking God. And sometimes you need to just know what it is to just hear God's voice every single day. You know, sometimes like the wisdom and the principles of God, they keep you going for a while, but then there's seasons when you are just like, I need God's voice every day. I'm in a time of serious trouble. God, what do I do today? And God doesn't ignore trouble. He doesn't say it doesn't exist, but He says, I will give you a way forward in every single season. And right now, what I want to do is I just want to pray. Firstly, for people who, when I was talking about shame there, you were sort of like, yeah, you know what? My past has defined me. You know, Jesus came to actually set us free from that shame. He's actually dealt with our mistakes, our sin, and any who receive Him have the right to be called children of God. I want to pray for anyone here this morning who, if you're honest with yourself, you can't call yourself a child of God. But this morning, you're hearing God's voice inviting you into relationship with Him. And it's as simple as praying a prayer. And in fact, right now, why don't I just get everyone just to close your eyes for a moment. This is a personal moment, a moment between you and God. Just bow your heads and just right now, I want you just to hear the voice of God. If you're away from God, if you're distant from God, if you've never known God's presence, you've never heard His voice, well, this morning, you're not here by accident. You are here because God wants you to know that He loves you. He created you with a plan and a purpose, and that you are called to be His child. Don't live separate from Him anymore. Don't be that two-year-old out on the street trying to make life work in your own strength. No, come to God. Become a child of God. Just while our eyes are closed, I just want to pray a simple prayer. It's a prayer inviting Jesus into your heart. And if you would pray this from your heart, I truly believe God will hear it and He will respond to you, and you will be given the right to be called a child of God. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, let's all pray this prayer, especially if you need to make this decision in your own life. Repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I know that You love me and that You made a way for me to be right with God. You died on a cross to forgive me of my sin, and You rose again to give me new life. From this day forward, I walk with You. Talk to me and live in me, in Jesus' name. So while your eyes are closed, if this morning you prayed that prayer from your heart and you were like, God, I need to know You as my Father. Can I just pray for you? I'd love to pray for you, but just so I know who I'm praying for, wherever you are right now, I just need you to slip your hand up. So that was me. I prayed that prayer this morning and it was like from my heart to God. I just want to pray for you. It's a great decision over there. So good. Anyone else this morning and you are like, for me, this is like a real, yeah, up there as well. So good. For me, this is like a real moment where I've opened up my heart to God. If that's you, I just want to pray for you. Eyes are closed. I've just got a couple of people looking around that I've asked to help me so I don't miss anyone. If that's you, just before we pray, just chuck your hand up. Amazing. Lord, I just thank you so much for each of your beautiful children and for those that this morning have opened up their heart to you. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you want to speak to them. You want them to know you. You want them to hear your voice and be led into everything you have for them. So I pray right now from this day forward that they, God, like you, Jesus, will be able to say, regardless of who leaves me, I am never alone because my Father is with me. God, that they would sense your presence every day of their life and into eternity in Jesus' mighty name. You can open up your eyes now, and I might just ask everyone just to stand up, and we're pretty much done, but I do want to pray. And I want to pray because, like I said, as I started to explore this sermon, I was struck by its relevance to our sort of current moment in history. There's a lot of people that are worried and anxious, and their eyes have been on, you know, these things. And it's almost like you're being robbed of your present. You know, I even just feel some of you guys have been glued to the news in a way that's actually unhelpful. And I actually felt God speak to me about this because, I was getting up and, you know, started reading my Bible and, you know, I thought I'd just quickly check the news. Next minute I'm reading articles and I've got this and got that. And I just felt God say, Tim, you are filling yourself with things that are distracting you from the moment. I wanted to meet with you. I wanted to speak to you. I wanted to love you. I wanted to encourage you. I wanted to strengthen you. I wanted to give you keys to raise your daughter. I wanted to give you keys for your marriage. I wanted to give you keys to share my love with the world. I wanted to lift you up. But here you are, filling your mind with worries and thinking about things. I'm not saying the news is bad. What I'm saying is we cannot be so consumed with these worries that we are robbed of our present. How many of us, I was literally again this week, it's like a full-on, like, just tell the truth moment. Here's like a counseling session. Thanks, guys. I'm just getting it all off my chest. I'm sitting there, Lacey's, you know, watching Waffle Dog. It's the latest anyway. She's watching Waffle Dog and she's loving it. And I'm sitting there again, reading the news. And I'm just thinking about how I'm not present. I'm not present with my daughter. And you know what? She's growing up fast. She'll be 2 in February. And I was struck by the reality that I will look up one day and she'll be 10. I'll look up one day, she'll be 20. I'll look up one day and she'll be 30, 35, getting married. No, just kidding. I'll look up one day and I'll be walking her down the aisle and I'll be, you know, releasing her into the next season of her life, and it'll be like, I won't get these times together anymore. And I'm like, man, I don't want to waste every moment that is a gift from God with my family, my friends, my community, even with Him in my quiet time by being distracted by worries of the world. And so I just want to just really take a minute. We literally only have a minute. And I just want everyone to just close their eyes. And what I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm not going to ask you to not worry. What I'm going to ask you to do is to spend a moment focused on Him. Focused on Him. I just want you to enjoy His presence. You know, for some of you, this could be the first time that you have been present in a moment for a long time. You've been constantly consumed with work needs, family needs, you know, world needs. God is saying, hey, take your eyes off those things, seek me. Lord, we just look to you right now. God, we just thank you that right now you are just ministering to your people your love. Lord, that you are just sharing your kindness. You know, I feel like for some of you, it's like the first time you've looked into Jesus' eyes for a long time. I want you literally to imagine, use your prophetic imagination right now to imagine yourself in the presence of God. Focus on Him. Let Him love you. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you that you know our needs. Lord, I thank you that you know the next step for our family. You know the next step for our career, our health. You know the next step for our world. We just thank you, God, that as we seek you, your Bible promises that all of these things will be given to us. So we allow ourselves to be in your presence. We allow ourselves to not be distracted by worry or shame, and just to receive your love, to receive your love as a child. Lord, return the awe, return the wonder, return the gratitude and appreciation for the life that you have given us, for the people in our world, the things that are happening around us. God, return to us, God, the appreciation for the present. And God, by your Holy Spirit, help us to see when we're being distracted again by worry. Lord, let this thief find no grip in our hearts because we are so present with you. Thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, can we just thank God just for his goodness this morning, even in the midst of our trouble?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.